Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah?
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Let's talk to our man, Brian, to McFadden. All things covered is the podcast. And, of course, he's an analyst for CBS as we get ready for Super Bowl 59. And B-Mac, you know, you said last week, maybe the last 2 weeks, I don't bet against Patrick Mahomes. And I know you didn't. And he finds another way to get back to this moment where now they're chasing history for a chance at a three-peat. And I want to just start there with Andy Reid and Mahomes and the Chiefs. Man, it just feels like it doesn't matter what obstacles in their way. They find a way to get it done, and they just know how to win big games.
Yeah, I mean, you have to learn how to win so you don't learn how to lose. And that's what they've built there in Kansas City. And think about this, guys. We're talking about Kansas City, you know, in the Super Bowl again. But this is a team, they've been without their wide receiver one and Rashee Rice since early in the year. Isaiah Pacheco was missing time. I mean, Chris Jones missed time. But they still found ways to win. So this is a team that they just know how to win ball games, and they know how to make sure you beat them. Because another thing about Kansas City, when you watch them in terms of turnovers, in terms of penalties, they do not beat themselves at all. So if you're going to beat them, you really got to beat them.
We were talking about this with Chuck Smith last Friday, Bryant, and that is the fact that how good this young defense is, all the Georgia Bulldogs, everybody knows about, but they had the best in sacks. They were number one in sacks 2 years ago. Even though the sack numbers are down a little bit, could you argue that this team is better suited to keep Mahomes somehow between the hash marks and really pushing up the middle and really giving some trouble to that Kansas City O-line?
I won't say that. I'll say the front. And this is just my personal opinion. I think the defensive front that we saw from Philly 2 years ago was a better defensive line unit because, to your point, they had more sacks. I think they had 60-plus sacks. I think they led the National Football League
right. In
sacks that year. And you look at some of the outstanding defenders. You know, Josh Sweat was on that defensive front along with Graham.
Ndamukong Suh.
Fletcher Cox was on that line. So you look at what Jalen Carter has done, you know, has been outstanding. He's the best guy. He's the lead singer for their group on the defensive front. But look at what Nolan Smith has done as well. He's really been playing some of his best football. But I think that defensive front, anytime, guys, you have a team that gets 60-plus sacks in a season, you remember them. Now, I'll say this. Now, the caveat to that front 2 years ago being better than the front they currently have, I think the secondary is better now, in my opinion. When you look at Darius Slay, who was a part of that team 2 years ago, when you look at Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, you know, you look at C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was a part of that team as well, but he's a more experienced player. Reed Blankenship has really done a lot. You know, he's really outkicked his coverage. I think the secondary is better, but I would side with the front from the Eagles 2 years ago when you look at the better unit compared to what they have now.
B-Mac, before we get into some of these coaching hires and some of the other news around the NFL, as you're talking about defense, Eagles defense, in your opinion, better than the Chiefs defense right now?
That's a great question. I'll side with Kansas City, right? And here's why. If I'm going to compare the two, I also have to compare the defensive coordinators. Now, Vic Fangio is a guy who I highly respect. He's been around the game for quite some time, highly experienced. But Steve Spagnuolo is the best there is. Steve Spagnuolo will go into the Hall of Fame as a coordinator. So when you factor in his experience in these type of ball games, that's a plus. His ability to really dial up great defensive fronts, defensive schemes against some of the best offenses that we've seen has been well documented. And the experience that he has in coaching the guys he's currently coaching. Now, granted, there are a few faces here and there, but the majority of their foundational pieces he's been with for quite some time. They've won championships. So I'll side with Kansas City when you factor in the defensive coordinator as well.
It is our man, Brian McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl winner as we're getting ready for the Super Bowl. What do you remember about your Super Bowls with the Steelers, man? And how different were they? Was it once you did it, were you obviously ready for the next one?
Listen, the first one, I was like a deer in headlights. Honestly, guys, because our first Super Bowl was my rookie year. So I literally thought you go to the Super Bowl every year. I didn't know how hard it was to get to the Super Bowl because I went my rookie year. And then when I started talking to other guys throughout the National Football League and they were just applauding and congratulating me, like, man, you went to the Super Bowl. Man, I've been in the league 10 years, 12 years, haven't even been to a conference championship game. I'm like, oh, so this is a big deal. Now, the second Super Bowl for me, because I played in three, the second Super Bowl, I knew how to navigate. You know, I knew how to handle the ticket requests. I knew how to handle the family accommodations. But one story I'll share with our second Super Bowl. Now, you guys remember, that was against the Arizona Cardinals. That was a James Harrison pick six, the Santonio Holmes game-winning catch. We were big-time favorites going into that ball game, which I was not aware of at the time because I had no idea about the point spread. But that night of Saturday night, guys, one thing we always did as a team in Pittsburgh, like we fraternized together. We hung out together. We were a legit family. So every game, night before game, we would play Blu-ray. That's a card game, right? We would play Blu-ray, and we would do it long throughout the night. So that game, remember, Super Bowl is played on 6:30 Eastern time, right? This game was in Tampa. So we changed hotels on Saturday to kind of get away from the media and the fans. We had our own private secluded hotel. We had our team meeting, and we were like, okay, y'all know what time it is. It's time to go play some cards. It's time to go get it cracking. Right, so we literally got into James Ferrier room around 9:45. We started playing cards. I kid you not, guys. I didn't get to my room to go to sleep until 8:30 a.m.
What?
We stayed up all night playing cards.
You gotta literally be kidding me.
And get this. I was not the only one that got into the room around 8:30. We had probably about 18 guys because in that card game, Blu-ray, the max number you can play with is six. So we just had guys in there just watching because the intensity was so high. Now, we were playing cards, but, you know, there was a few extra incentives involved. And when I tell you, it was intense. And when I got back to my room at 8:30, I took a shower. And I said, Mac, it's 8:30. I got to go play a Super Bowl in a few hours. I got to be the dumbest person in the world. And I remember James Ferrier told all of us when we finally decided to end the game. This was around like 8:18. He was like, hey, man, whatever y'all do, do not let this get out that we was up all night playing cards. He said, whatever y'all do, keep this to yourself. So then get this. So it's 8:30. I take a shower. Mind you, I didn't even get breakfast. So now I got to the stadium because I used to ride either the first bus or the second bus to the stadium. I walk into the stadium. It's probably like almost 4 o'clock. You can tell everyone who was in the room all night playing cards because eyes were bloodshot red. And I'm looking around like a zombie. I'm like, bruh, this is Super Bowl, man. We stayed up all night playing cards. not thinking anything about the most important game of our life at that time, which was the Super Bowl against Arizona.
Crazy.
Hey, we went to Rolling Stones, man.
I no doubt.
Yeah.
I like how you just mentioned I played in three. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And I'm guessing they stayed up till 8:30 in the morning when they played the Packers a couple years later, too.
Hey, no, we didn't stay up as long. That's the problem. That's why we lost that ball game, because I remember James was like, hey, man, we can't have the same thing happen against Tampa, so we're going to go to sleep early. So we probably got in the room probably about 3:30-ish. We didn't stay up to 8:30. That's why we lost.
Interesting. Well, you know what? That's a great story, and that's another reason why we love talking with you. As far as the coaching hires, man, I think the worst one, and look, it's changed for me. I thought the Leon Combe thing was a mess. Right. But this Brian Schottenheimer thing is it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, B.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, man, Jerry said he knows how to identify head coaches, and he trusts his judgment. That's one thing I like about Jerry Jones, right? A lot of the things he says and he does is confusing, but he trusts his own judgment, and he's going to do what he thinks is best. So he's never looking over his shoulder, because if it doesn't work out, guess what? He has no individual to blame but himself. But to your point, Brian Schottenheimer, and this is the thing I don't understand about some media folks. Why y'all keep emphasizing he was the offensive coordinator? He didn't call plays.
Right.
Mike McCarthy called the plays. This man hasn't called plays since, what, 5-plus years ago when he was in Seattle, however long ago that was, 2018, 2019. That's the last time he called plays. He wasn't going to call no plays for Dak Prescott. They talking about, well, he was hands-on, he was the OC. That is just a title that Jerry gave him. Mike McCarthy, when he fired Kellen Moore, we all knew he was going to take over play calling. Brian Schottenheimer became the head coach for Dallas Cowboys because Jerry Jones needed a puppet. He needed a guy that he can be basically the ventriloquist, where he can pull a string and make him say whatever it is he needs to say. And Brian Schottenheimer is willing to do that because he had no other opportunity to be a head coach in any other organization that had a vacancy. So this is what Jerry is doing. You're going to be the coach, title, but I'm going to be the one making the moves and telling you to do what I need to be done. So that's why Brian Schottenheimer is the guy.
Right. I mean, and he's right there in your building. They even called Steve Spurrier to ask him, how good a quarterback was he in college? Hey, real quick, we got about 30 seconds, B. You know guys who played for Pete Carroll? They love playing for Pete Carroll. You think it's going to work being this old, going back to the game with the Raiders?
I think so, because Pete Carroll's 73. What, Bill Belichick is 76 with a 24-year-old girlfriend. So clearly, you know, the 70s is the new 60s nowadays. Right or wrong, right?
Right. Well, Pete's
what
a youthful 70.
Bill Belichick take him.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what Bill Belichick got going on, but hats to him. But yeah, the 70s is the new 60s right now. And the thing I love about Pete Carroll, guy, he's a high energy guy that has a lot of respect. Now, he only signed a 3-year deal. Then, to your point, how long will he want to coach to be able to turn the program around? But when you look at what's available, I would much rather have Pete Carroll as my head coach than Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. B-Mac, man, appreciate you. Look forward to our visit next week. We'll break down the Super Bowl, dive in a little bit deeper, guys, into the teams, the schemes, and what we think is going to play out. B-Mac, man, have a great weekend. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.